I think it's really great for your church to do that. And, you know, I was here on Friday night, and I was so encouraged to see the movie that you are just displaying outside. And I think it's a great occasion. You had 80 people here. Next Friday, you have a terrific film, movie, that is going to be displayed there, The Wire Room. So it's a movie on prayer, and the salvation is going to be said. I don't know if you have watched that movie already. How many of you didn't watch that movie? Yeah. This is a great movie. Don't miss it. And if you saw it already, just bring a friend. It's really going to be a great time, and that's going to bring a lot of people in connection with God. I'm convinced of that. So you can see that's us, but basically we are planting a church, planting a new church in the area of Paris. You have a brochure with you, and on the left side, you know, I can talk a lot, but if you want to go straight to the point, you can see first my wife, who is here, Priscilla, if you want to just wave. So we are French, but we have a German name, Rindenecht, it's a German name. French is a mission field, 0.7% only are evangelical born-again Christian. So most of the people believe that France is a Christian country. Sorry, it's not. Not at all. In the region where we live, on Sunday morning, 1% go to the Catholic Church and 1% only, well, less than 1% go to an evangelical church. I'm a pastor since 98. Priscilla is an amazing multitask administrative assistant. That's true. She's really amazing, and she does a lot. When she was explaining at Hinson last week what she was doing, some people couldn't help but pray for her that she would find help. Okay, I guess it's a loving compassion. If you want to know, you know, we were singing this morning, God Reigns, and it is so true, you know. And when you look what happened in the last 18 months, you have a summary of what happened. The church grew from 31% to 87%, the core from 15 to 41, the members from 3 to 29, the small groups from 1 to 6, so we had one small group, we went to 6 small groups, and we went from one service to 2 services. And we saw a lot of decisions for Christ, and about 15 to 20 new believers are attending the church. So this is a summary, and I wish I would say it's because I'm a good pastor. I'm not. I'm really not. I have a lot of weakness. But one thing I know is that the message of the gospel is powerful enough, and God touched lives by His Spirit and convince people to believe in Him. So this is why the next movie on Friday is so important. So we are in France. France is the northwest of the west of Europe. In case you don't know where France is, it's right that country. And we are 15 miles east of Paris. So you have downtown Paris here. So Paris is a big town. Downtown Paris is about 2 million, and the big suburb around Paris is about 12 million. So you have the Marne River here, and you have Disney right here. And we are in between Paris and Disney on the Marne River. We are living right here, and the new church is right here. So I was the pastor of the Champ Church for 16 years, and finally they sent me to plant a new church on the other side. It's a high-density suburb. You can see here where we were living. We were living here for 5 years. We had the privilege to have David coming to our house when we were living there. That is a very trashy, noisy, poor social neighborhood. It's also a suburb with lakes and pedestrian ways, so it's nice to walk and run and hike. And we are living in a very multi-ethnic suburb. So you can see here lots of the people that we have in our church. So, for example, that guy here is white French. That guy is Romanian. That guy is Caribbean. That would be a white French guy. She's from Central Africa. She's Caribbean. She's Cameroonese. She's from Madagascar. She's from China. So we have really lots of different people. And it's something that is very exciting. You know, the other culture are very open to the gospel because most of them, they are in transition. And when they are in transition, they don't have the comfort, they don't have the money, they don't have the families, they don't have the belonging. They are looking for helps. They are looking for ways of being well. They are looking for values. So they are much more open to the gospel. This is our family a few years ago, not sure, 2 years ago. Nate, who is 25. John, our last baby, who is now 20. And Timothy, who is 23. So Nate is an oboe player. Timothy is in medical school. And John is in history. Everything started a long time ago, about 20 years ago, with a stay in the States. And so you can see John here. It was at Christmas 96. We came here to study at Western Seminary. So you can see here the chapel. I've got my diploma in 96, 98. And then I was the pastor of the Champ Church. So we built that building with God's helps. And it was, I could say, a rather successful ministry. I'm not saying we were a perfect church. We were not. But we saw a lot of blessing. There was health. We saw a lot of conversions, a lot of growth, a lot of small groups. In 98, when Craig Davis, the former missionary, gave us the church, we were 80, and the Lord made it grow to 120 in 2008, and we went to 240 in 2014. So the question is, how that happened? Well, some Christians joined us from that time to that time, but from that time to 2014, a lot of people came to Christ because the gospel was preached. So that's why next Friday is so important. In our region, we have 86,500 persons, and so many people go to hell. People who are not saved, who do not know the Lord, who are not reconciled with Him, they go to hell. So the question is, what were we going to do about that? And I had a strong feeling, and this is unexplainable, that the Lord was calling me to plant a church, and I'm going to give you some reason. But the main reason is when you plant a church, more people come to Christ because you are preaching the gospel more when you plant a church than if you stay in a regular established church. So in June 2016, the Champ Church sent me. So they asked all the people who were already in the project of Torcy, the new church, to go on the stage here, and they prayed for us, and so I couldn't make a picture when I was on my knee. But that it was a great day, and you can see the man here, who is the chairman of Dynamic Church Planting International, who, by the way, was recommended by David to me. I don't know if you remember, on the Skype, you mentioned about Dynamic Church Planting International. So I took contact with them, and that's how I was trained by them. So he was here on that day, and you don't see him, but just behind here is Pierre-Antoine, who is the chairman of the Champ Church. So a core group was formed. I invited everybody who was interested to come just to pray for the project. So we were praying every other week just for the Torcy project. And it was interesting from the beginning. there were people, like always, you know, you have always people who want to kill the joy. We had people who were saying, you know, Torcy, it is never going to work because it's a town hostile to the gospel. We always tried in the past. It is never going to work. And even if you try to find a room for worship, it won't work. And I thought, we pray about that. Let's see, okay? And less than 2 weeks after, so 13 days exactly, somebody said, yeah, sure, I'm ready to rent the room for you so you can worship on Sunday morning. So I thought, yes, Lord, great. So, you know, when really God tells you something and it's so clear, don't listen to the other one. Do what God is saying. So the church was pre-launched, and we have a series of worship services before the launching. So here you can see March 2015. We were about 30 at the worship service. You can see here Priscilla leading the worship and singing. And then Easter was coming, and our goal was to launch the church on Easter. So we put 10,000 invitations in envelope, and I wrote a letter, and we took this envelope and brought this envelope to the people in their mailbox. So in France, we may do that. It's legal. And we invited a big gospel choir. And we went from 30 that we were just before in March to 150 on that day. Okay, I have to tell you a secret. Just the gospel choir here, they are 50. But you know the funny thing. So how we do big Sundays, we just let the gospel choir sing for 30 minutes. Then I preach the gospel in between. And then there is the rest of the choir for 30 minutes. So that's what I did on that day. Preach the gospel and I explain how, because Jesus raised from the dead and is King and is the Lord and is God. If God can transform death into life, there is hope with Jesus. Because God can do it for our lives too. If something is dead, He can bring life out to that. So I preached the gospel, and I always make a call. So I made that call, and I said to the people who were here, so if you made a decision for Christ and if you prayed for me, would you raise your hands? And on that day, I had more than 50 people raising their hands. And actually, I thought that most of the choir was reconciled with God and had the proper decision, had made the proper decision, but it was not the case. And there were some of these people even raising their hands. So everybody who made a decision for Christ didn't stay at church, but we immediately went into a spiritual journey together in April and May 2015. We did the 40 days of purpose, and within 1 month, the church went from 38 to 48 to 58 to 68, and so we went, and we were 70 from the beginning in April and May 2015. Here are some pictures of the church. We are a worshiping church, like you are. It's very important to worship Him. And then there is, this is a fellowship meal at the end of February this year. We're about 50 here eating together, a little bit like today. We have 6 small groups, so it was the small groups we had on Friday night. And this is another small groups, the one of Saturday morning. That was a time of fasting and praying. So people are praying. That's why they don't look at us. And this is a training of the small group host. So we have 6 small groups, as I said before. You have about 10 people here. You can see Craig Davis here, Priscilla right here, my sister Sylvie, Aziz, who is in my small group, Colette, who is the treasurer of the church, Yasmina. And Yasmina was saved at Easter 2015. Lydie, Anne-Marie, Jean-Marc, and Rachid. Thank you. So our small groups, one reason we do small groups and we believe in small groups, it's simply because when we are in small numbers, everybody can talk. And another reason for that is we believe that if we practice together worship, praying for one another, serving one another, learning from the scripture, so growing into maturity and evangelizing, praying for non-believers' friends, we simply believe, like it is in Acts 2, if we do these things intensively, well, you know, there is balance. And when there is balance, there is growth. And when there is growth, there is fruit. And this is what we have seen in the Shant Church. So when we went into the small group format in 2008, we went from 25 people to 90 people a week in the small groups. And since that time, because people were practicing all this spiritual discipline, were doing these things intensively, the church began to grow continuously until 2014. So all our small groups are made to be divided so that we can multiply, and this is what happened. In 1 year, we went from 1 to 6. So in every small group, there is a senior leader and there is a junior leader. And so regularly we do a spiritual journey, and as we do a spiritual journey, then more people go to the small groups, and we divide and multiply the small groups at that time. You can see here a training and a discipleship class, so and an evangelism campaign in 2015. We put 15,000 tracts explaining the Gospels in the mailboxes. We had an American evening. It was kind of a talent show with a nice American evening before. It's attracting pretty much the people who are living there. Another children outreach that we had in February. And so we always do big Sundays on Christmas and Easter. Again, we were 150 this year. And that was last Easter. We were a little bit less, 120. But you can see the four people behind me here. These four people are totally unknown to the church, and they came. And that day, they heard the gospel. And somewhere in the back here was sitting Nadine, and Nadine is joining us now as a church. And so on that day again, we put 19,000 tracts in the mailboxes, and we got a lot of new people. And after that day, we had 6 new people at church. So it's really worth to do to invite people in the mailboxes. One thing we believe is that the gospel is central to all we do, and I wish I would say, you know, it's from me, but it's not from me, it's from God himself. If you have your Bible with me, and you can open to Romans 1:16, Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And the interesting thing is that Paul is just going to explain the gospel in the whole book of Romans. So you see, the gospel is not only for the people outside of the church. It's for us. It's gospel means good news. See, this is a good news for me today, for you today. And if you go on and you go to 1 Corinthians 15, maybe you know that scripture too, 1 Corinthians 15, Verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scripture. So why do you think that Paul is saying to the Corinthians, I remind you of the gospel? Well, he said it himself. It is of first importance. That's it. And what is of first importance? Guys, Christ died for our sins. We might be forgiven. We might be free from our sin. Because he died for our sin and he paid the price, our price for heaven has been paid. So we know where we go. And we are free from our sin because our penalty, our debt, has been cancelled. And why is it that Paul is saying that to the Corinthians? Well, obviously they forgot it. And I don't know how you are doing in your spiritual life. Go and see the movie on Friday night. I don't know how you are doing in your spiritual life, but if you are not doing well, you know, just preach the gospel to yourself again. Read about the gospel. Read about the good news. It's always good and it's always new. In Romans 8, and this is a text you know, at the end of the chapter, Paul is saying, verse 31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but give him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemned? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, and it continues, verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demon, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. And we all know that text, and we know it's such a precious text. But you realize that the three or four things that I've written down here and that could happen to us is exactly the gospel. God is for us. God justified us. God loves us. This is for us. And so, at church, what we do is simply, I'm preaching the gospel from the pulpit, and I'm calling people to receive Christ. And you know what? It works. It is not because I'm a good man, I'm not. But the gospel is good, and it's a good news. And Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God work in people's lives. So a new church is born, and you can see we were probably about 70 on that day. So the room is small. And so a lot of people ask me, why do you plant a church? Well, you have the reason here. God is gathering his family, and there is still room. You have other reason in the brochure on the right page inside. Church planting, why? Just in the middle. Well, first, it's the biblical strategy to extend. It's very simple. You preach the gospel. It's the best way to evangelize. 4 to 8 times more people come to Christ. And in the first 10 years, statistics, American statistics, say that 80% of the newcomers are new believers. And then it gathers the harvest in one place and allows the gospel to shine more efficiently in another place. And it's also true that people gather, rather go to a church in their town rather than 2 towns away. I mean, naturally, if you live in Dayton, the first thing you are going to do is to look for a church in Dayton rather than McMinnville, right? So this is the reason why we do it. And how many chairs are empty here today? And even if all the chairs were filled, full, God is gathering people. And we all know that one day God is going to close the door like he closed Noah's ark, and it's going to be too late. But God is a loving father. There is room in his family. He's adopting people. Are we going to tell to other people? So this is the reason why we do it. And now I want to talk about you, about the new people. I want to talk with you about the new people who are coming. Now, these two ladies, she's coming in our church since the last Easter, and she's coming in our youth group. I had a talk with both these ladies, Francine and Chloe, and both of them were not certain to go to heaven, you see? So you might find some people who would say, I'm a Christian, or I'm an evangelical, or I'm a Protestant, but they are not certain to go to heaven, and they are not certain that their sins are forgiven, and they are not certain. So you talk with them and ask questions, and I ask the question, so if you were standing before God in heaven, and he would ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And they answered, well, you know, I've tried hard. Well, you know, so why Jesus died? And they understood that it's not by their own efforts, but Jesus Christ paid for it, so they don't have to pay, they don't have to earn it. This lady was baptized in January 2015. He's a new believer. Her sister is a new believer. Gaetan attended our church since April 2015. He's a new believer. Romain came last year in October, and he's a new believer. And you can see Catherine here, who is attending our church since October. And her daughter right here. And Pascal, who is a new believer also. And these two young ladies. Audrey. Bosco. So, these two new guys, Marie-Claude and Maku, a new Christian at church since about November, October last year. And they had the perfect demonstration. They got an invitation in their mailbox, and they were looking for a church. So they came to our church. They were already Christian. But one day, they were hosting their uncle, the uncle of Marie-Claude, uncle and aunt, and they did what most couples do. They fight. So he was thinking, what can we do to make sure that they stop fighting? And he began to pray in the middle of the fight. So I'm not sure if it was in the room or outside of the room, but he began to pray. And he just prayed that God was going to put his peace in that conflict. And they stopped fighting. So that's the funny thing. They stopped fighting. And he was telling us that story as we were eating in our home with them. And I said, I hope you invited Bosco at church. So Bosco went to church, and Bosco received Christ in his life and decided to follow the Lord in our church. Another great story, Yasmina came to the Lord in April 2015. She was an unchurched Catholic, as we have many unchurched Catholic people, trusted the Lord on this day. And Yasmina is the perfect example also of a person who got an invitation in a mailbox, come to church, made a decision to Christ, was baptized, became a member, begin now to lead a small group, and did all the classes of our discipleship track. Françoise is another great example of a lady who was the former renter of our apartment when we arrived in the region. And my sister, who is attending our church, was willing to adopt a cat, okay? So this is a cat story. And she didn't want to buy one. She wanted to get a wild one. And, Francois said, you know, there is a wild cat in the garden of our building, so I'm going to tame it and bring it to you, okay? And this is what she did. So there was a friendship between my sister, Sylvie, and Françoise. And Françoise was married to a pastor's son, a Reformed pastor's son. So she came to church in November, and since then she's here. Made several times, she raised several times her hands as I called to make a decision for Christ. Our vision is very simple at church. The Great Commission and the Great Commandments are the most important commands. And from these two commands, Matthew 28 and Matthew 22, we draw the five purposes who are worship, fellowship, maturity, discipleship, ministry, and evangelism. And so we have a plan. Our plan at church is that the gospel is at the center of everything we do. And we have two ways of making disciples. And we believe that we have to be intentional. There is a book that was written. The book is called Simple Church. I don't know if you read that book. But the book is very simply saying that if you want a church to grow, you have to make sure that the people are growing. You have to have a discipleship track, and you have to be intentional. So our first disciple-making track is the three worship times. And we say, look, it's very important that you worship God. When we worship God, we meet with God. And when we meet with God, God is changing us, right? He's transforming us. So the Sunday service, the Sunday service is the first worship meeting. Then you need to go to a small groups and you need to have a quiet time to read the Bible and to pray. A second way of making disciples are four classes. So we have a class on fellowship. This is the membership class, a class on discipleship, a class on ministry, and a class on evangelism. And so the five will of God will be taught and observed. And I'm summarizing that on one hand. I'm saying, you know, our vision is as simple as one hand. So we evangelize, we put the evangelism at the center of everything we do. We have two ways of making disciples. These are the three worship time, the four classes, so that the five will of God will be taught. And this is how we do church in our church. So we first try to attract the community at church so that we have a crowd. And when we have a crowd, by the way, this is what you do next Friday. When we have a crowd, we preach the gospel. This is what's going to happen next Friday. We preach the gospel. And when we preach the gospel, people enter into the family of God. And of course, they need to be baptized. And so we bring them in. As we preach the gospel and we teach about baptism, and then we build them up. So we teach the congregation to read the Bible, to pray at home, to give, to be servants. And as we train them to do that, they become committed people. And then we ask these committed people through a class to discover their gifts, and we bring them to be servants at church. This is the core. And then we train that core to explain the gospel, and they became the commissioned, and we send them out. So I'm at the end, and now here is what you can do. Well, you know, mission like churches are only possible based on your commitment. I would like to thank you as a church to support us and to be committed to that. You can take a card, you have a brochure. If you would like to receive our newsletter, you can simply fill the form on the right here and give us your email address so we can stay connected. Just fill it in and give it back to us. And you can always pray. We always need prayers. Lots of things are a battle. We all know that. But lots of things happen, and we have the victory because God is working. And so we have to ask Him to be here and to reveal His glory and to show to the people that He's mighty, that He reigns. And one thing we want our church to be about, we want our church to show how much God is a great God. I think it's so important. So let's pray for that. We are planning an outreach team, so I'm inviting everybody who would like to come from the 8th to the 15th of July. If you would be interested or if you could send people, you are welcome, most welcome. Talk with your pastor. It has to be in agreement with him. I hope he agreed. But and you can always support us. We are looking for support. We are with World Venture. So thank you. Thank you very much.